Hi, my name's Russell Norman, and welcome to Blue Marble Storytellers, bringing you great stories from around the globe. On this episode, we bring you a great story from Shay West. Shay West is the pen name of Cruchet Hilton. Cruchet mostly writes stories in the contemporary and young adult genre and often draws on her experiences as a birth and postpartum doula and childbirth educator. And like many passionate writers, she tries to write something every day. We had a fascinating talk with Cruchet on episode 7 of Read Lots, Write Lots. This story is called For the Cake. Please enjoy.
For the Cake is scrawled across the top of the list in Dave's chicken scratch handwriting. Cake flour, free-range eggs, whole milk, unsalted grass-fed butter, sugar, and candles. I'm not entirely sure why candles are pluralized. One candle should be sufficient for the cake. I mark it out because we don't need more than that. I had argued with Dave that a box cake would be just fine, that to waste all this money on cows that have been massaged in a field seems quite pointless for a first birthday. How will anyone know the difference, Dave? They sell millions of box cakes a year because they're impossible to ruin and they taste just fine. Is that what you want for our baby's first birthday, Serena? A boxed cake? I often prompted fights between the two of us that ended with Dave commiserating in perpetual letdown. We used to lay in bed before our child was born and talk about the things that mattered, like not letting our daughter pierce any part of her body before the age of 16. As good parents, we hoped that she'd attend our alma mater and major in something that might help to change the world. It's funny to me now, the rules we made up for a little person we'd yet to meet, as if they'd adhere to whatever cookie-cutter syllabus we had prepared for them, and not just set it on fire instead. When she arrived, she had her plan, and she was set in her ways, and we were none the wiser. We talked about how sweet it would be when she'd learn how to make a cherry pie with her Nana for George Washington's birthday every year. Not because the man was worthy of such a celebration, but because cherry pie is delicious and her Nana is the best pie maker around. Dave insisted that she'd only eat free range and local foods, that her gut health was equal to her brain health, and what kind of parents would we be if we didn't take care of her brain from day one, Serena? A box cake sounded perfectly fine to me, and forgiving of the amount of energy I would have come the day my daughter was to turn a year old. All the fuss over a first birthday never made much sense to me before I had a baby, and now it's crystal clear that this whole cake from scratch thing is pointless. It'll likely be pushed around on a plate because it's too sweet to palate, and I haven't been too hungry lately as it is. I can't even stomach the idea of eating a piece of cake. What with all the stress that planning a birthday entails? But for my daughter, I'll bake the damn thing. And for Dave, I'll do it for Dave. My shopping cart has an obnoxious wobbly wheel that buckles every time I try to guide it through the aisles in the grocery store. I am the grocery wheel in this thing called life. In my first year of motherhood, I buckled plenty of times under the pressure of navigating all the new first, coming to a full stop each time milestones felt too hard. I watch as a woman in produce swipes her thumb across a shiny green apple as if she's waiting for her reflection to appear. The way she rubs the apple on the front of her shirt before she hands it to her toddler is endearing. She's like Dave, only the best food for our little girl. Focus, Serena. Cake flour, free-range eggs, whole milk, unsalted grass-fed butter, sugar, and candle. The cart resists my persistent shoves to move down aisle 3, detouring me past the cheery mother, who probably only feeds her kid organic food and filtered water. I admired her ability to choose the best for her child just seconds ago, and now all I feel is an all-consuming rage at the perfection she displays. Maybe I'll see if she's single. Dave deserves someone who won't be petulant over the baking of a cake. The golden-haired girl gums the flesh of the apple, foamy juices seeping from the edges of her lips. The apple rolls from her hand, obstructing my pathway to aisle 3. I reach for the apple and think about whether or not I should give it to her. She wiggles and stretches out her arms in a gimme fashion. An apple dropped on the grocery store floor might as well be the equivalent of baking a boxed cake, according to Dave, and I have hardly any reservations about handing it over. A small quiver of my hand shows the exchange of giving the child her apple back, so I hand it to her mother instead. She looks better equipped at making parenting decisions than I do. I'd like to pass the back of my hand over the little girl's pinkish cheeks, but that would just be creepy as hell. So I busy them on the handle of my cart. My hand shakes sometimes, and I'd rather the little girl not witness this part of me today. Oh, thank you. Poppy is at that age where throwing things for a response is fun. Are you a mom too? She points to the birthstone necklace around my neck. Amethyst for my February girl. I nod, thinking if I just stay quiet, I won't have to answer too many questions. Well, you know how it is then. They're just so darn cute, even if I do end up picking up the thing 20 times over. The joy on her face every time I hand it back is worth it. My cart releases me from the purgatory that is the produce section with Poppy and her peppy mother. I give the cart a quick run, pushing off with one leg as I used to when I was young, and I didn't give a shit about things like gut biomes and feeding kids proper foods. My body tries to channel the freedom of sadness and few rules of my childhood in hopes that this trip to the store will be uneventful. My right leg scissors back as I drop my toe like the brake of a roller skate, slowing myself in the baking aisle. I get a look from an elderly woman that eyes the overpriced ground golden flax meals and vanilla beans. I'd like for her to move it along so that I can shop for the cake in peace. My wrists ache a little as I try to rub the pain away. The pains come and go for no reason lately, sometimes in my wrist and other joints of my body. It can't be from lifting our daughter as it's been so long since I've had to do that. It's not from aggressive prayer either. I gave that up a long ago when the postpartum depression swallowed me whole. Who knew that postpartum depression could last up to a year? Not me. The women in the moms groups said, "Your body changes so much after you have a baby. Nothing is ever the same." They aren't wrong about that. My body is different, but Dave says I need to take better care of my person and let myself mourn who I used to be and accept who I am now. He thinks my pains are psychosomatic. I love Dave, but I think he's psychosomatic. Old blue hair won't move out of the way, so I pace with frenetic energy, with the urge to sing, "Move, bitch, get out the way." I'm a mother now, but my ability to regress to juvenile behavior when I don't get my way is staggering. "Oh, I'm sorry, darling. Am I in your way?" "I just need to get a few items for the cake." I wave the list in front of her in hopes that she'll gather the items and put them in my cart for me. I'm just so tired, and I'm not even getting up in the middle of the night anymore like I used to. Cake flour, free-range eggs, whole milk, unsalted grass-fed butter, sugar, and candle. Dave's writing, like that of a carpenter, is marked without much pressure and erratically on the floral-lined paper I hold in front of me. His writing has always reminded me of my carpenter father's marks of measurement. It's one of his many endearing traits, as he's never lifted a hammer a day in his life. The quotation marks around "for the cake" look so similar to the double prime that follows 19 and 3/4 inches. It's easy to look for signs in ordinary things these days. The ivy of indecision climbs its way up my throat, leaving my airway constricted. My eyes scroll over the boxed cakes and the items on my list. What flavor am I making? Dave didn't say if this cake was vanilla or chocolate or the kind with sprinkles baked into the batter. For the life of me, I cannot remember what the mommy blogs say about a one-year-old's preferences when it comes to cake. Is the emphasis on the frosting or the flavor? Would she like pink or purple? "Looks like you're making a homemade cake. Not many folks make those anymore these days. Who's the cake for?" My lips tremble and press together to trap any potential confessions from tumbling from my mouth. If the words come out, they will crush this old frail woman into a pile of dust. "It's for my daughter. She's one." "Oh, that's lovely, dear. All my kids are in their 40s. It's cliche what they say, but you'll miss them being this little. So try to enjoy it, even on the hard days. What's your daughter's name?" A desperate panic warms the soles of my feet, telling me to choose the flight and not the fight option. I leave the cart with the buckling wheel because the store doesn't need two of us. Grief is loudest when you're inside your car, parked outside of a grocery store for all of the consumers to see. I'm a broken woman who can't hold the lid shut on her bereavement any longer. The elasticity of my heart snaps like a rubber band that's been pulled beyond its limits. My hands, no longer unsteady, slam on the wheel as I scream out my agony as loud as my ivy-filled throat will allow. The knocking on my window snaps me to attention. My reflection in the side mirror shows a landslide of black mascara down my face mixed with snot. The old woman smiles at me with the caution of a lion tamer at feeding time, afraid that I might bite the hand that is trying to feed my grief. "What do you want?" My words are unkind, but grief doesn't allow for manners and proper salutations. She holds up the list with a vanilla boxed cake and a tub of chocolate frosting. I give in with a sob that takes my breath away as I unroll my window. You dropped your list. Can I tell you something, mother to mother? It doesn't matter if you make a cake from scratch or not. It's the love you put into it, dear. I'm sorry you lost her. I didn't know you were carrying something so heavy.
We didn't name her. We lost her the same day she became ours.
Tell your little one happy birthday.
Serena, where's the cake flour? I wrote it on the list.
Why did you mark off candles?
Why didn't we name her, Dave? She's our daughter. We didn't give her a fucking name. We held her for almost 6 hours and we couldn't bother with a name?
How will we celebrate a birthday for our child that doesn't even have a name? We caught a lot of shit for that one, not giving our baby a name. We had a list narrowed down to 5. Blake, Lane, Joey, Campbell, Sutton. Dave wanted a traditionally feminine name. Frankly, I wanted a name that allowed my child to stand outside of a boardroom, leaving the people sitting at the table wondering who might walk through the door, man or woman. I couldn't name her until I saw if her lips looked like mine or if she was lucky enough to have received Dave's eyelashes. I had plans to tell her all about boys with beautiful eyelashes and how they'd use them to change the air that surrounded her, like a butterfly changing the course of the world. I was so ready to tell her so many things. Dave breaks at my indictment. I see his eyes fill with blame for this limbo of sorrow that we've navigated for an entire year now. An entire year without our baby, and yet our bodies ache and want from dragging despair around like a ball and chain and not from holding our little one. The cake mix sits between us on the counter, waiting to be prepared or tossed in the cupboard. I grab a mixing bowl and the mixer as Dave gathers the other items because sometimes the only way out is through. We mix the 4 ingredients in near silence. Who knows? Maybe there are some tears in the cake. But salt preserves things, and we've got enough between the two of us to preserve this moment of pain and healing. The cake enters the oven, and Dave and I sit in front of the oven door with the light beaming back at our faces. My head on his shoulder and his hand entwined in mine, Dave whispers, "You know, I always felt partial to Joey." My heart flutters to remind me that it might feel impossible to live without her. But this organ also cocoons me from when the adrenaline tries to steer my brain in the wrong direction like a buckled wheel. Dave, I think next year for the cake, we should just buy one. I think Joey would like that.
We hope you've enjoyed this story, and if you'd like to provide some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments at bluemarblestorytellers.com. If you're a writer and would like to showcase your work on Blue Marble Storytellers or talk to us about your writing on Read Lots, Write Lots, get in touch with us by leaving a comment on our websites, readlotswritelots.com or bluemarblestorytellers.com, or by sending an email to bluemarblestorytellers@gmail.com. So until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.